The Old Testament reading for Sexagesima Sunday is written in the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear friends in Christ here at Grace Lutheran Church, it is my pleasure to give you greetings from the faculty, staff, and students of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Benjamin Franklin, one of the forefathers of our country, once said these words, Money never made a man happy yet, nor will it. The more a man has, the more he wants. Instead of filling a vacuum, it makes one. If it satisfies one want, it doubles or triples that want another way. Then Franklin finished by saying, that was a true proverb, a wise proverb of a man. Rely upon it. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Money, no matter what culture or our world might say, cannot buy you happiness or real satisfaction. And to think so is to be called a fool. Jesus told this very familiar parable of the rich fool near Jerusalem at the end of his ministry. And when Jesus was at Jerusalem, he was there usually for the festivals. And so when Jesus taught, people crowded around him. They flocked around him to hear him. And during Jesus' particular discourse, he was interrupted right in the middle of his discourse. And a man brought up to him as a rabbi this grievance about an inheritance. Now, it was not uncommon for rabbis to deal with some legal matters or to give advice about an inheritance. But Jesus uses this opportunity to say, that's not my primary purpose. However, I will use this opportunity to discuss the dangers of greed, of covetousness, and the dangers of loving material possessions. Three things made this man a fool. One, he thought nothing of God. Two, he only thought of himself. And three, he never considered death. You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. But God said, Fool, this very night your life is required of you. His many years, gone in one night. Are people like that today? You have plenty of good years laid up for you, right? Retirement awaits us all? Wrong. No one knows how long they will live. 3 weeks ago, I was visiting a friend of mine who was a director of Christian education. His wife battled leukemia. even had bone marrow transplant. But the Lord called her home at 53. You never know when you will take your last breath. Yet, like this rich fool, many today think nothing of God, only of themselves, and never consider death. There is very little investment in eternity today. I was traveling in Colorado last August, and I had my Concordia Theological Seminary polo shirt on as I was traveling and meeting people. Of course, somebody saw that name Concordia on my shirt. It was a lady whose sister had just lost her husband in a car accident at the age of 35. And she was helping her sister in Wisconsin. Well, there happened to be a Lutheran pastor and a Lutheran school where those kids were going to. And so she asked me, what does it mean to be a Lutheran? Open opportunity for me, right? I go in and begin to talk about the scriptures and the Bible. But as I talked about this spiritually, the more uncomfortable they became. We talked about the Bible, and they actually got angry. Why were they uncomfortable? Because they had too little knowledge of the scripture. They had made little or no investment in eternal matters. They were ignorant of the truth and knew little about God. Many assume that this life in which we live, move, and breathe right now is all there is. The world says, make as much as you can to please your every comfort and pleasure. Build bigger barns. But if we think nothing of God, we think only of ourselves, and we never consider the reality of death and our own mortality, we fail to be greedy for God and may miss eternal life altogether. Ask yourself, is your life ever so filled with things? House, property, stocks, cars, family, spouse, kids, grandkids, that we think nothing of God, only of ourselves, and fail to consider death? It's no wonder that the church, which lies within the wealthiest nation of the world, struggles. With all the resources that we as God's people and Christians possess, you would think we would have greater impact on the world. But our congregations struggle at times. Your congregation is working through the painful process and laborious process of the call and calling a new pastor and preparing for that new pastor. Our own synodical missionaries must raise 3 years of support before they even set foot on another land. And yes, even your seminary, Concordia Theological Fort Wayne, must raise support. However, the problem is not what many people assume. It's not that we don't have enough dollars to go around, but we fail to remember who we really are, and that everything we have is the Lord's. I don't own any of it. Dr. Luther says in the first article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that God has what? Made me and all creatures, and that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them. also clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, wife and children, fields, cattle, and all that I have to support this body and life. I heard a very interesting statistic recently at a workshop when I was in St. Louis with the LCMS Foundation. And that statistic was this. And I'd like you to think about the statistic in light of our nation's debt. Our nation's debt is estimated to be about $20 trillion. By the year 2054, when most of the baby boomer generation will have passed away, that generation alone will leave behind $88 trillion. But where will they leave it? Did you hear that in Ecclesiastes with Solomon's words to somebody who earns it, but one who inherits it? To whom will they leave it? When I am visiting people in various parts of the United States and much of the West, this truth of God, that everything is His, is taught to me in spades again and again. When I visited Charlotte, north of Chicago, this past fall, this wealthy widow, her husband had died 2 years ago, but they had set up an endowment with the seminary. And before I left her, she said, "Now, Pastor, you take this check, because it's the Lord's anyway." Charlotte knows who owns her wealth. It's not hers. It's not hers. She only manages it. But she knows she was naked coming into this world, and guess what happens when we will die? We won't take it with us. Another woman, Jane, in Wyoming, did a similar thing when she started an endowment to support seminary tuition. She said, "Pastor, take this. I want to do it. It's the Lord's work." This parable of the rich fool encourages you and me to ponder, to sit back and reflect and repent, and to clean out the storage boxes of our lives, which get just cluttered with so many things. And then, as St. Paul says in Colossians, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated. God promises to take care of all of your needs, to fill your life with His comforting peace, eternal meaning, and divine guidance. The world will say, store up, save up, and there is some wisdom to some financial planning. That's not what this parable is saying. But you never know when your life will end. God, the very one who knows the very numbers of hairs on your head and the days of life appointed for you, says now, trust me. Believe in me. Be greedy for me. Now is the day of salvation. Cast all your cares, all your worries, all your financial trials, all your anxiety regarding the future today upon my Son, Christ Jesus, who was crucified for you. As Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. But, knowing and believing in your Savior Jesus Christ, you are very rich indeed, because He is the one who holds all things in His hands. And never forget that all of the greatest riches are yours right now, fully and completely, because God poured them out on you. You are the richest person in the world. in Christ. St. Paul says, for though Jesus Christ was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Think about that. The second person of the Trinity, who was rich in every way, dwelling with the Father to all eternity, chose to come in time, conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary, to come in the flesh, to live the perfect life, all for you, all to serve you. The Almighty God, eternal God, humbled himself and came in human flesh and was born in an animal stall with no place to lay his head, but with one purpose: to make you rich. The Heavenly Father made the greatest trade of all eternity when he said, I'm going to take all of your sin and cast it upon my Son and upon his cross, and I will cast it on him. And in return, Jesus gladly takes all our selfishness, all our covetousness, all our idolatry, and has it nailed on him, being the greatest sinner of all. All in order to make this trade with you, to give you God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's love. You are justified, you are holy, you are innocent. He pours out the riches of his blood, not for himself, but for you and me. So now whenever we see the baptismal font, or whenever we see white paraments on the altar or white robes, let those remind you of how rich you are. You are holy and righteous in Jesus, precious in his sight. You are not poor and hopeless, wandering nowhere. You are guided by him. You are rich and forgiven. And receive also at this table this morning, receive his precious body and precious blood of the one who dwells eternally with the Father, and who in that meal, when he gives you his body and blood, binds himself to you in a very intimate way. Dear friends, since life is so fragile, consider your life soberly. Money can buy you a bed, but not sleep. It can buy you books, but not brains. It can buy you food, but not an appetite. It can buy a house, but not a home. It can buy you medicine, but not health. It can buy you amusement, but not heaven. Lasting, eternal riches are yours in Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, yesterday, today, and forever. And until he calls you home, never forget how rich you are and rejoice that he prepares an eternal place for you. That is being greedy for God. Amen.